kept forging ahead and he kept making moves that maybe people would agree with, maybe people wouldn't. He made a comment on an interview where he was asked, why are you still in this music business? He said, well, because I love the music more than I hate the business.
Few musicians have presided over jazz like Miles Davis. He's an enigma, a dichotomy, hard to understand. He helped shape the sound of the music for 5 decades, from bebop to cool to modal to fusion. Miles was never afraid to come up with new ideas, and he was also not above imitating popular styles if it kept him in the media. He played a cerebral lyrical trumpet, and he created a succession of legendary bands and recordings. They still sound great today. Just ahead, the trumpeter Nicholas Payton and bass guitarist and composer Marcus Miller celebrate some of the later music of the master. We'll hear Miles Davis's music from the 1960s, 70s, 80s, up to his death in 1991. This is Jazz at Lincoln Center. I'm Wynton Marcellus.
You know, Miles is actually largely responsible for me even wanting to play jazz.
Nicholas Payton grew up surrounded by music. His father is the well-known New Orleans bassist Walter Payton. His mother is an operatic singer and pianist. Nick played trumpet in brass bands from the age of 8. But even though he was performing it, he thought of jazz as older folks' music and was more interested in hip-hop and R&B until...
I went to my father's record collection, and I'd been around all my father's records my whole life. I mean, he had thousands of records. And I picked up this record by Miles Davis called Four and More, which was actually recorded at Lincoln Center in 1964. And from the first notes of that band playing, you know, though I'd been around jazz all my life, from the first instant I heard that music, that was a solidifying moment for me that I knew I wanted to be a jazz musician. So Miles has always held a special place in my heart.
By the 60s, Miles had already played bebop with Charlie Parker and helped define cool. He formed his famous septet with Coltrane, Cannonball Adderley, Wynton Kelly, Paul Chambers. They produced an all-time classic, Kinda Blue. These sidemen left, but their playing inspired many youngsters who were high school students in the 1950s. By 1964, those youngsters had matured, and his second quintet crystallized with Wayne Shorter, Herbie Hancock, Ron Carter, and Tony Williams.
He based it around the players and gave them freedom to bring their voices to the band, as opposed to saying, hey, this is Miles Davis's group. We have a certain tradition of the drums sounding this way in my group. I want you to sound like Tony Williams sounded, or to tell Tony, hey, I want you to sound like Jimmy Cobb or Philly Joe Jones. He wanted Tony to bring something fresh and unique and allow Tony the latitude to be able to express himself, which makes the music sound fresh and creative and free because all of the individuals are allowed to be able to express that freedom.
In the 60s, Miles' groups moved from playing standards to music that was more complex, but it was still melodic, to modal experiments and group improvisation influenced by the avant-garde. To represent such range, Nicholas Payton based his set on a concert played in Antwerp, Belgium in 1967 by Miles' second quintet. Payton even followed their set list of tunes from a decade of Miles' work. At Rose Theater, Nicholas Payton and his ensemble play Wayne Shorter's Footprints, Davis's signature version of Round Midnight, and No Blues. They start off with Miles' own Agitation.
Thank you. Thank you.